Welcome to the broadcast from Christian Outreach Center in Sisseton, South Dakota. It's a joy to come to you each week and to bring the message of Jesus Christ and the truth and the power of God's Word. We pray today that your life is touched by the message and the hope that is in Him.
I gotta tell you a cute story. Anybody watch Joel Osteen last night? I heard the story before, but I hadn't. He was telling a story about this married couple that's been married for 50 years and never had a fight. Never had an argument. Isn't that amazing? And so they asked the lady how it happened. How could you go... LJ, where are you going? No French toast this morning. So he asked the man and woman how this happened, and the lady responded, and she said, on our wedding night when we were leaving the church, we got into this horse-drawn carriage, and the horse decided, and I drove, and the horse decided not to go. So she looked at the horse and said, that's number one. The horse went a little ways and stopped again, and she said, that's number two. The horse went a little ways and stopped, and she took out a pistol out of her purse and shot it. Said, that's number three. And she said, my husband said, honey, you can't do that. You just shot the horse. She said, that's number one. I thought it was kind of cute. Last week we talked to you, and we're going to continue in just a little different avenue, but in the same vein. We talked to you last week about allowing and inviting the Holy Spirit to possess you. Inviting the Holy Spirit to control you, and inviting the Holy Spirit to help you to influence and change people's lives. You see, when we look at the world changing, when we look at churches changing, when we look at things changing, in all essence, we're talking about people. When we talk about this church maybe not being alive where we want it, we're talking about people not being alive, pastor not being alive. And so when we're talking about God working in people's lives, it's about us. Which is very, very, very interesting. I want you to turn, and we're going to spend a little time in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. And as I was praying this week, all I could get was different spirit, different spirit, different spirit. And so yesterday morning when I came to pray and read, I went into Kirk's office and found this verse. I knew where it was with Caleb, but I wanted to see what the NIV said, and the NIV said different spirit. And so we're talking about a different spirit and the results of having a different spirit. Now, some of the translation will say he had different thoughts. Fact is, one of the translations says, I got a Bible in there with 36 translations or 26 translations, and one of them said, a different man. But here's what the Bible says, and I don't want you to miss it. In Numbers 14:24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has fully followed me, or followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. There's a lot said in that verse, and I want to just touch on three parts of that verse. I want to touch on different spirit. I want to touch on fully followed me, And I want to touch on the blessings to his descendants. We cannot live just for today. You cannot look at your life and say, today is the day I'm living for, because we're living and our lifestyle in Christ transcends the present. It actually reaches into the future to our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. There's a foundation, there's principles, there's values that must be laid down now that we may not see in operation even in our lifetime, in our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but we have to lay the foundation. And when I started reading this and going into it, because I've been talking to people who are kind of growing careless in their walk with Christ and careless in attending fellowshipping together with other people. I've been talking to them because it's been on my heart. It's not about your life. What about your teenage children? What about the children that aren't teenagers yet? What kind of foundation are you leaving for them? And I'm going to touch on that. Because we're not only living for ourselves. If we're living for ourselves, we're very selfish. But we're laying a foundation for our children and their children and their children. And it needs to come together. The church will be weak or weaker in a few years if the church now doesn't shape up and grow up and motivated to serve God. And there's a danger. Amen or oh me. So anyway, I started thinking back to this story of Caleb. And it's kind of very interesting. And I thought of a principle right away. When God wants to give you a gift, take it. You look at me, what are you talking about? Well, in chapter 13, and let me just read this to you. And all the problem it caused because people wouldn't take a gift. In 13:1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Go spy out the land that I'm what?
Giving.
Your Bible say giving? And so I'm thinking as I'm reading this, when God offers you a gift, take it. All the problems started because the people, the 10 spies, looked at the land and said, yeah, it's wonderful. Well, God knew what he was doing. Look at me for a moment. God knows what he's doing in your life. God knows what you and I need to be equipped to accomplish what he has planned for us. God knows everything about where he's taking us, what he wants to give us, what he's going to ask us to give up, and he may do that. He knows all about that. And when God says, I want you to do this, and I want you to go there, or I want you to be this, understand he's already putting within you what you need to accomplish that which he's calling you to do. It's pretty amazing. Because 10 spies came back and said, there's giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers in our, in whose eyes? In our eyes. We're like grasshoppers in our eyes. And they didn't even have a mirror. But all of a sudden, the God who took them out of Egypt, the God who brought them through, the God that their clothes never wore out and their feet and shoes never wore out, the God that provided the manna and all the things for them to eat, couldn't take care of them anymore. But there's giants. Let me give you another principle. The giants you don't destroy today will be around tomorrow. You say, what are you talking about? In Judges, it says when Caleb said, now give me this mountain, and we're going to read this. The Bible says that the sons of Anak were still there, the giants. So he dealt with them. So anyway, Caleb stands up and says, a different spirit now. In Numbers 13, 31, 30 and 31, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with them said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Take a look at your life for a moment. I can do what through Christ? We're going to look at that again. My God shall supply what? How many of them? I can do how many things? How many of you looked at your situation in your life lately and said, just not going to work? How many of you come to a place where you just say, I can't do it? Can I tell you something? That's where God wanted you to come to. Because if you can do it, you'll do it. And you'll say, God, I just kind of don't need your help right now. I can handle this. God brings us to a place, and he brought the children of Israel to a place where they were either going to have faith or failure. God will bring you to a place in your life to build your faith, but if you don't walk it out with him, you'll fail. Because he never planned your life around you. He planned your life around him. And we look at things through our eyes, and at times, and I was talking to somebody the other day, just felt like throwing up their hands and quitting. Then what? Caleb had a different spirit. Caleb looked at the giants and trusted God. Sometimes when you look at the giants, you never trust yourself. I can't do it. But when you look at the giants, when you look at the things in your life, and you're walking in the Spirit of God, it's never a big issue. Yeah, we'll wonder, how are you going to do it, Lord? But the issue come back to the place that God's going to do it. And Caleb walked that out. And we know he did. Because he comes back to Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter 14. In Joshua chapter 14. Verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. He said these 45 years, he's now 85 years old. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now Here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I'm strong this day as on the day Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war at 85, both for going out and coming in. Therefore, give me this mountain. Give me the mountain. Let's look at one more verse, chapter 15, I believe. Chapter 15, 14. Mark it in your Bible if you mark stuff down. He's 85 years old now. And Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak, the giants. Not the New York giants either. The giants. Look at it. What was the key to Caleb's life? What was the key to Caleb now? 45 years he waited for the property because of the children's disobedience brought about by the lack of faith. He waited for the property till he was 85. That's even older than Uncle Bud. 85 years old. And he goes in there and he kicks out the giants because he had a different spirit. Look at your life. Do you just blend in? Or do you take a stand? Do we just kind of go with the flow? Not talking about the flow of the Spirit now. I know we sang about that. Or do we stand up? And you look in people's eyes and you see the fear and the uncertainty and everything going on today. You can blend into that over a cup of coffee in a heartbeat. You can come to a place where, yeah, everything's falling apart and the new president's doing this and Congress doing this and everything's, yeah, you know. No. Do you realize because certain parties in office that God didn't fall off his throne? Do we realize that this is an amazing opportunity for God to move in this nation and bring people back to their senses? And it's not going to be all about me and what's in it for me and what can I get out of it, but it's going to cost us something in the name of Jesus Christ to take this country back for God. It's going to cost something in ridicule and persecution and standing up and saying, no, I don't believe in this. And yes, I do support Israel. But you got to have a different spirit. You cannot be conformed to the spirit of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind when people with different spirits think different. And when you start walking in a different spirit and you're sitting around people who are just talking about everything falling apart, pretty soon you start getting a little agitated inside. Because you realize that the people who are talking about everything falling apart would call on God. They'd see, and we'd see in this region, the hand of God move, and we'd walk out in power, and we'd kick out the giants. Amen. Amen. Yeah, thanks, Mary. They said if you want a new pastor, just say a few amens, he'll preach himself to death. I'm not talking about Mary. So if you're looking for someone a little more exciting, just start amening all the time and we'll just work ourselves into a tizzy. But seriously, Caleb waited 45 years to get his piece of property. And he finally did it. And you know something? When he got there, the giants hadn't left. Very interesting. Listen to me. Don't allow the demons to stay around your being. Deal with them. You say, what are you talking about? Satan tries to get us oppressed, tries to get us discouraged, tries to get us depressed, tries to get us negative, tries to bring us to a place where, man, and pretty soon, well, not you folks, just me, pretty soon if we hang in that mode, we get angry. And we get ornery. And we say unkind things and we do stupid things. And, you know, you can never make a right decision when you're afraid to make the decision. Hello? You know, it's stupid to try to make a good decision when you're fearful. Get rid of the fearing. I mean, get rid of the fear. Then make your decision. You can't make a decision when you're all tied up in knots. You can't make a decision out of a mental case. You've got to make a decision out of the right spirit. And God has put the will within you to make the decision. Make the decision that's right with God. And you'll do that, and you'll walk that out because you have a right spirit within you. Let's deal with one thing else. If you've blown it, made wrong decisions for the wrong reason or the wrong spirit, ask God to change circumstances. You say, well, God, he's God. The first thing he wants to change is you. And when he changes you, he'll put within you the divine ability to change the circumstances. Somebody says prayer changes things. How many of you have heard that? You know what I believe? I'm not trying to put that down. Prayer changes people, and people change things through the Holy Spirit. Now why? Not only did he have the right spirit, but the Bible says in Numbers 14:24, he fully followed God. I like that. How many of you are part-time Christians? Hello? Is there such a thing? I don't know, but thought I'd ask. How many of us go serve God? Man, we are a Sunday morning, Wednesday night believer in God, and we're all out and we're going forth. That's almost like coaches. Somebody that hates to practice, but they love to play on Friday night. I refuse to practice. Practice? I refuse to practice. But boy, when they say number 82 is coming out in the field, I want to lead the parade. I want to be the captain. I want to go out and meet that nice guy in the white hat. But you know something? Our decision not to fully follow God catches up with us. Caleb, and God's told Moses this. This is not just somebody saying, I think Caleb fully follows God. God looked at Moses and said, but my servant Caleb has a different spirit, and he fully follows me. Times are tough, times are good. Didn't make any difference. Had plenty, had nothing. He followed God. It's not a good time. It's not a good time to be a part-time Christian. It's not a good time to be a part-time believer. It's a time to totally, without exception, regardless of the circumstances, regardless what's happening, to set your face toward God and don't flinch. Walk it out. Live it out. Speak it out. Pray it in. This is the day. It's like we had four or five guys in for coffee, probably about every day now. When we're around, we have people just dropping in for coffee. And one of the guys said several weeks ago or several months ago, you know something? This is the time that we've waited for. Why are we trying to curse it? We're waiting till all these things come together and get ready for the return of Christ and all these things going on. And we were talking the other day, and I said, you know, we can't curse our community. We got to bless our community. We got to speak blessings over this town. You got to speak blessings over the town that you live in. You fully follow God, and you're not looking at what you're seeing. You're looking in the spiritual and seeing what God can do. And when we look in the spiritual and see what God can do, We fully understand that whatever community and whatever situation it is, God wants to be glorified and will work in that community when the church has let him. It's not up to the sinner out there to change our community. It's up to the people that claim to be Christians. You're saying, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact we're in charge. We don't look like it. We don't act like it. We don't walk it out. Obama's in no more charge of this country than I am. God's in charge of this country. And God has possessed the believers to walk in authority and in power. And we need to come to a place of understanding, yes, Mr. Obama is the president, but the one in control of the country is God. And when you fight against God, you fight against the only real authority in this nation. Every single born-again believer fully following God has authority over your community. We just don't use it. And God is saying, I put you in this community for a purpose. Fulfill it. Amen? I want to show you some things here of Paul. First in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I will rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now here's Paul's commitment. Take a look at it. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. That's Paul's testimony. God, I understand there, and the whole context is there were some people preaching Christ out of strife and envy. Paul's coming to the place and saying, it doesn't matter whether they preach Christ out of strife or envy. I just want them to preach Christ. But he says, as personally for me, that in everything Christ will be magnified, glorified, and honored in my body, whether by life or death. And we understand Paul's commitment to whatever it would take, because he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. We're not here. God didn't put us here to worry about what's going to happen to us. God put us here to be a culture changer. We don't blend into everything going on. We change that which God allows us to change, and we fully follow Him. We don't know what the word compromise means. We're here for Jesus. Compromise means defeat for the cause of Christ. And we walk it out. We walk it out in victory. We walk it out in power. But keep in mind this. Even those who are attacking the kingdom of God, we love. I love the way you say amen. Thanks, Barb. The rest of you said shoot them. The kingdom of God is based on love all the way through. Even those who go against everything we stand for. Because you know something? One of the reasons, maybe a minor reason, maybe a major reason, I don't want Satan to win victory in anybody's life. I don't want anyone to go to hell. Because that person, Satan won that victory over that person's life, and I want to see them all delivered. We okay? Number three. If you look back in Numbers chapter 14, it's very interesting. But my servant Caleb, because he has, in verse 24, has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. I'm going to bring Caleb, I'm going to bring you into it, Caleb. You probably won't be there too long, but you're going to kick the giants out, and then I'm going to give it to your descendants. Except Caleb has a smart idea one day, and he says, whoever wants to come in here and kick out some of these giants, I'm a little tired of it. I'll give you my daughter for your wife. So Rethanol, I think his name was, went in there and kicked him out. Married Caleb's daughter. But look at me. How many of you would rather go through the tough times so your children can have it a little bit easier? How many of us would just love to have everything laid out? We've made the right decisions. We've followed the Lord. We've supported God's work. We've been an example to our children. I'm coming to the place where we realize that we're not going to be around too much longer, and we want our kids to step into that spiritual experience we had. But you know something? There's a cost to it. The main cost that you have to pay and that I have to pay is consistency. I walk out my life in front of my children, regardless if they think I'm an old fuddy-duddy, which sometimes they do. I don't know what that means. If they think sometimes I'm narrow-minded. I just went through something with, Judy and I are going through something with one of our daughters, and she talked to me the other day, and she said, Dad, you didn't seem too excited about it. And I said, no, it's not that I'm not excited. It's that it's the wrong way to do it. And we want to see it laid out. I want to see it done spiritually right, not my motives or my way. That's not the issue. The issue is God's way. Because when your children walk it out God's way, you can rejoice with them. When they do it their own way, and it's issues and it's problems, and there's sin in there, and there's things going on, you got to take another look, and it takes some of the excitement out of it. But what I like about this is God looked at Caleb and said, not only for you, but for your children. You know, you can put a bumper sticker on back of your car saying, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. But don't spend their spiritual inheritance. Walk the life. Remember Paul and Silas in prison? You can read about it in Acts 16. I'm not going to take the time this morning to read it to you. And we hear that verse, and a lot of people use it. They just never take this next. Well, let's go there. I'm going to take the time. Acts 16. They're in prison, and Paul and Silas are singing at midnight, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake and things are happening, and the jailer, we know, is going to kill himself. Remember? Look with me in verse 30 of chapter 16. And he called in the jailer in verse 28. Let's go back there. But Paul called with a loud voice and said, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved in your own household." Too many people stop there. And he spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. He spoke the word. It wasn't just an automatic thing. He spoke the word of God to the jailer and to everyone that was in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes. Immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer had an experience with God, and every one of his family members had an experience with God that night. One more time, look at me. Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, you can't share with your kids something you don't have. I'm not trying to be mean. I can't share with my grandchildren something I haven't experienced. I'm not overly thrilled at times with the direction things are going in my family. But I'm not going to compromise faith, compromise my walk, so that everything seems nice. In your life, those around you, those you influence, don't compromise. One compromise means many more compromises in the life of the people you're compromising with. Walk it out. Live it out. Let Jesus Christ be Lord and be glorified.
We hope that you enjoyed the broadcast from Christian Outreach Center today. If you have any questions or need someone to talk to or even pray with you, please give us a call at area code 605-698-3494. That number again is 605-698-3494. And you can also find us on the web at www.cocfamily.com. And that address again is www.coc.com. You'll find a link there to listen online to our weekly podcast, which contains the same material as this broadcast. Thank you once again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be upon you.
There is nothing like your love. No exchange for